And now, a Rob Brown lowdown, only on the Fan Upstage.
Let us begin with item number one. As we mentioned to end the last hour of the show, MLB legend, the Say Hey Kid, Willie Mays, has passed away at 93 years of age. His son, Michael Mays, put out a statement last night that said, quote, "My father has passed away peacefully. And amongst loved ones, I want to thank you all from the bottom of my broken heart for the unwavering love you have shown him over the years. You have been his life's blood." The Say Hey Kid was, of course, one of the most all-around complete baseball players of all time. He was a wizard in the outfield, bringing home a dozen gold gloves. Between the Negro League and his Major League Baseball career, he was a 24-time All-Star. He was a two-time league MVP. A two-time All-Star Game MVP, a one-time Major League Player of the Year. He was a 54 World Series champion, the 1951 Rookie of the Year, and was elected to the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame in 1979. Mays was the 10th black player in Major League Baseball history, went hitless in his first three games. His first career hit with the Giants was a home run off of soon-to-be Hall of Famer Warren Spahn in the first inning of a Giants 4-1 loss to the Braves on May 28, 1951. Mays was also on deck when the Giants' Bobby Thompson hit his NL pennant-winning home run against the Dodgers on October 3, 1951. Of course, famously known as the shot heard round the world. The Giants win the pennant. The Giants win the pennant. The Giants win the pennant. Willie Mays, an absolute icon of the game. Willie Mays was my introduction to my education of Negro League baseball. I did not know Willie Mays was a black player when I was growing up. My grandpa, who was a big baseball romanticist, one day introduced me to that fact, introduced me to the Say Hey Kid, introduced me to my knowledge of not just Willie Mays, but the incredible Negro League players from those days. And Willie Mays was the trigger for me learning all of that incredible baseball knowledge, a baseball history that was unfortunately necessary because of intolerance and bigotry in those days within the game, a part of the dark period of baseball history. Willie Mays, one of the reasons that we have moved on from and celebrate that, a legend and icon of the game, passing at 93 years of age. He, of course, was the Say Hey Kid, Willie Mays. Let's get to item number two. The Stanley Cup playoffs roll on. They roll on because the Florida Panthers, who held a 3-0 lead over the Edmonton Oilers, now hold a 3-2 lead over that team. Back-to-back consecutive wins for the team from Canada, and just like that, now it feels, despite the fact that they are still down a game, like Edmonton was in the driver's seat. Clearly, the better hockey team yesterday evening down in Sunrise, Florida. Why? Because the special teams of Edmonton has not just come alive, but they are now dominating. The first two goals for the Oilers and three out of the five came on special teams play for Edmonton last night. Connor Brown opened the scoring 5.5 minutes into the first period, scoring a shorty, Lonzo, scoring a shorty, a shorthanded goal on the 5-4 disadvantage from Connor Brown. It was unassisted, took it himself the length of the ice and buried it past Sergei Bobrovsky, who has struggled a little bit the last couple of games.
Shorty means something totally different in Urban Dictionary.
Well, it's a good thing we're talking hockey and not whatever you young people are talking about now. Connor Brown gets the shorthanded goal, which meant that in the last two games, Edmonton has scored more shorthanded goals than Florida has scored power play goals at this point. Zach Hyman would score just 2 minutes into the second period. That one was on the power play. Back-to-back special teams goals for Brown and Hyman. Connor McDavid would get yet another point in, I believe, his 41st at the time. He would get 42 later in the game. McDavid would get an even strength goal 5 minutes into the second period. That made it 3-0 in favor of the Oilers. Matthew Tkachuk would get one back for Florida less than 2 minutes later off the Rodriguez helper. That made it 3-1, and it felt like the Cats were going to come alive. But Corey Perry got another special teams goal, a power play goal for Edmonton just under 12 minutes into the second period. Got the assist from Connor McDavid. That was point number 42 that made it 4-1. Then there was a flurry of action from the Florida Panther offense. Evan Rodriguez would score 12:08 just seconds after the Perry goal. That would make it 4-2. Florida would go and dominate the last 5-6 minutes of the second period. In fact, they got 6 shots on goal in about a 40-second period. However, none of them could find the strings because Stuart Skinner was having a freaking night last night. We would end the second period at 4-2. Ekman Larson would get a goal for Florida, 4:04 into the third period, and the place came unglued. It felt like Florida was going to have a come-from-behind victory in this game. Alas, it was not to be, because while Florida controlled the action in the third period, they could not find a way to break the brick wall built up by Stu Skinner. 19:41 into the contest after about a minute and a half and a stellar open net save from Matthew Tkachuk. They would get it back anyway. Just seconds later, Connor McDavid would find his second goal of the game against an empty net. That made it 5-3 in favor of the Oilers, and that would end up being your final. And so just like that, on a plane we hop, we fly back to Edmonton Game 6, set for a puck drop late Friday evening from up in Canada. No word yet if Kate's going to be there or not to inspire the troops to rally the Oilers. Oilers girl.
Okay.
Kate, the Oilers girl. Somebody, I got a dollar, says somebody buys her a ticket. Anybody want to take me up on that? Yeah, I didn't think so. Hey, we should move on to item number 3 on the water cooler cheat sheet. One that I have specifically added for the great one, Lonzo. The PGA Tour has 8 signature events around the course of the annual calendar. Those 8 signature events all have a purse of $20 million or more. Those signature events all lead to points in the FedEx standings. They have increased prize money and increased FedEx points. However, to qualify for those events, there are minimum standards that you have to hit. You have to hit a certain number of tournaments played. You have to hit a certain number of placements within those tournaments. You have to hit a certain amount of prize money won. And it is tough to do if you are not playing full-time golf on the PGA Tour. Well, the PGA Tour said, we need Eldrick. A memo obtained by ESPN yesterday, the tour told its members that a, quote, sponsor exemption will be created to recognize Tiger Woods in his own category as a player who has reached an exceptional lifetime achievement threshold of 80-plus career wins, end quote. Tiger Woods has had the Tiger exemption created just for Tiger Woods. He is now eligible with an exemption to play in all 8 of the signature events, which include the Century, the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am, the Genesis Invitational, the Arnold Palmer Invitational, the RBC Heritage, the Wells Fargo Championship, the Memorial, and the Travelers Championship. Jay Monahan said the policy board was considering implementing a 36-hole cut in each of the signature events. Only the Genesis Invitational, the Arnold Palmer Invitational, and the Memorial currently do. The board did take no action and will continue discussing the possibility, but the 48-year-old Tiger Woods has competed in only 9 official PGA Tour events the past 3 seasons since returning to action at the 22 Masters. The only non-major event he has competed in is the Genesis, which of course he hosts, and it benefits his invitation. Woods withdrew from the second round of the Genesis back in February because of illness. He finished 60th in the Masters, missed the cut at the PGA Championship, and last week's U.S. Open. Woods did say he planned to compete in next month's Open Championship, which is scheduled at the Royal Troon Golf Course in Scotland. But Woods can now play in all of the signature events. He was asked at the U.S. Open at Pinehurst on Friday if playing in more events might help him perform better. He said he did not feel like he was ready to play in additional tournaments. In fact, he said, I've got only one more tournament this season. Even if I win the British Open, I don't think I'll be in the FedEx Cup playoffs. Just one more event, and then I'll come back whenever I come back. Now, he is welcome to come back to the 8 signature events after the PGA created an exemption just for the 82-time PGA Tour winner. If you did not believe that there was a special level of importance placed on Eldrick Tiger Woods, the PGA Tour has just said, yes, indeed, there absolutely is. And it's a good decision. It's a good decision because even if you are not tuning in to watch Tiger, a lot of people are. A lot of people are. I watch golf just about every weekend that it's on television. And I will tell you that the few times that my lady friend has sat down on the couch next to me and been happy about my golf being on has been just to see what Tiger's doing. Tiger keeps eyes on the game and will as long as he plays. It's a good decision from the PGA Tour. It doesn't hurt anybody. They'll expand the field by one. He does not take a spot away from a younger competitive golfer. You just put him out there and let him go. And hey, if he pops up and he wins a tournament or two, incredible. You ride that PR wave. And if he doesn't, whatever, he gets eyes on the product, which hopefully will turn into new fans.
The Rob Brown Show. Get Rob at thefanupstate.com.